there's been so much industry acceleration in 20 years. It just feels like we're in a constant stage of keeping up or keeping on the forefront. Not everyone will win in the metaverse, but everyone should have a strategy to enter and test the metaverse.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we hear from retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. I'm Bill Thorne from the National Retail Federation, recording on-site from NRF 2023, Retail's Big Show, where more than 35,000 industry professionals have gathered in New York City to discuss the future of retail. And today, we're very excited to have Andrea Bell, Vice President of Consumer Insights at WGSN, as our guest to talk to us about what the future of retail looks like, trends that retailers need to be aware of, and how to plan for the future. That's a tall order. Andrea Bell, welcome to Retail Gets Real and the Big Show.
Oh, thank you so much, Bill. I'm glad to be here in person. It's nice to be back.
It is good to be back. The fun thing for me is when you walk the exhibit floor, even down by registration, you hear the yell. It's like, hey,
yeah.
They hadn't seen them in 3 years.
It feels a little bit mix of like a class reunion mixed with a company reunion. It's everyone's excited. There's so much energy on the floor.
I totally agree.
Which makes it feel better.
I always say at the Big Show, it's there's just this energy that you get. I mean, we're exhausted. We've been, I've been here since last Wednesday. Others have been here, for a few days. But when you get into the hall and you get that energy from everybody else, it gets you through the day. It's really fantastic.
It's interesting because we were talking about that earlier. It's collective effervescence. All of us feeding and kind of feeling that energy and then spreading it. So let's keep it positive energy.
Yep, for sure. Andrea, tell us about your journey to trend forecasting.
The interesting thing is it's not one single journey to trend forecasting. Mine came mainly through sociology and anthropology. Very strange. I know. I was convinced I was going to be Indiana Jones as a child. I was like, I'm a paleontologist. That's the goal. Turned into writing. My college major was cross-cultural studies.
Nice.
Wanted to do these, very high-impact op-ed human interest pieces. Graduated college and realized that was a tougher job than I thought, and all basically where I could get hired was fashion magazines and beauty magazines.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. Truly got my start at Cosmo. Still remembers,
I do remember Cosmo.
That little ditty, and just started doing consumer forecasting. So essentially, through that, I was always curious about why.
Right.
Why people are behaving. Why are they shopping? Why are they thinking? I remember I would sit on the subway and look at people's cell phones to see what apps they were using and how they were communicating. And that kind of led me to consumer forecasting at WGSN.
That's really cool. I mean, the other place that you can look for what people, their apps, what I've found is on airplanes. Like the person that opens it up on the right, and I'm like, wow, that person must travel a lot, or that person's really into the weather. So if you want to know about people and what their trends are, It's that simple.
It's all those little signals.
What's the best part of your job?
I would say the best part of the job is the interaction with the people.
Right.
And that sounds like a very politician answer. I feel like I'm about to pitch a run for Congress or something. But truly, so much of what we do is in-person interviews, vox pops, again, looking at people's cell phones. But it's really, it's that's what it is. I mean, anything starts with the human. And I think in such a digital world, there's this misnomer that WGSN that we're constantly on data or constantly just tracking different data inputs, which we do. But the bulk of our work is in person. And that's, there's nothing can compare. Even sitting here in the studio with Bill, it's so much better to do this in person over a computer
totally
or anything.
Agree.
So
totally agree. So what's the biggest misconception about your job?
The biggest misconception, I think, on a whole, is it stems from the Devil Wears Prada moment that we just pick a color out of the air. So many people come up and say, what is the key color for 2025? What's the key silhouette? WGSN is not just fashion. We also have six different categories, lifestyle, food, everything. But the key shifts, what we predict, are based on a very stringent methodology.
Right.
So again, we're not just going, we really like a green. A green feels nice. It's looking at, which, some people think we do. It's looking at consumer sentiment, those signals, those shifts, and putting it all together. But
it's just my favorite.
Yeah. No, sometimes people are like, did you guys just pick your favorite color? Like, no, so much work goes into the back end of this.
It's so true. When I first started, one of the things I really wanted to change was our logo. And I was so naive. I just thought, this is going to be easy. It was a process. But when we got right down to it, and of course, the board for the National Retail Federation, they're just all marketers. They all know their business. They all know about logos. And the questions they start throwing at me were, why that color? But even more granular, why that Pantone? I had no idea what a Pantone was. I mean, it was just, it was a great learning experience. But it wasn't like I just said, oh, you know, these are fun colors. I mean, we tested them. But anyway, you have to justify why.
Well, yeah, and you have to, I think that you just said it. It's interesting because in your mind, you're like, okay, it'll be a simple step. And then you realize how much goes into it, you know, changing an NRF logo. I mean, sure, at the end of it, we're just like, yes, this looks good. Let's roll with it. And it's like, but are we sure this font works? And you're just like pulling your hair out.
Now, you spoke here at the big show about global drivers that will shape retail by 2025. Can you talk about some of the most impactful of these and how retailers should be thinking about them?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the biggest takeaways from the session, and I always judge the session by how many cameras go up
yep.
when a slide comes up,
are they
going to retain it? Some of the biggest ones were around the poly crisis, which, you know, it sounds very heavy and dark, and to a certain extent it is, but it's essentially just different cascading problems that are currently overlapping.
Yeah.
And for retailers, that means, what do we focus on? Is it sustainability? Is it supply chain? Is it making sure our customers feel safe and making sure there's that empathy level there? So there's kind of tackling that in one hand. So you have this kind of, I would say, very, you know, deep, dark, existential moments. And then you have these moments of true creativity. So we were talking about synthetic creativity and how AI artwork, you know, there is an
right.
ethical issue, but that's continuously rising. So it was interesting what kind of grasped the audience. Polycrisis definitely struck them. And the synthetic creativity, I think, because every retailer is trying to figure out, how do we engage? How do we communicate authentically? And basically, how do we future-proof ourselves against all these different social media platforms that will continue to take market share?
Yeah. Did Metaverse come up?
Yes. In the forms of Web3. So actually, let me correct that.
Yeah,
Metaverse was a section about Web3 and kind of community building and what does
right.
the future of platforms look like.
It is an amazing phenomenon. I mean, when you just think about, look, I admit I'm old, but it's so much has happened in such what I consider to be a short period of time. Now, if younger listeners would say 25 years is not a short period of time, so I'll just cut it to 20 years, and I'll just say all of the things that have happened in the last 20 years, the evolution of the technology and the innovation and how our retailers have had to keep up with that, it's astounding.
Yeah.
And Metaverse, to me, you list regularly because our retailers are talking
yeah.
about it so much.
Yeah.
And I think that the idea is not unlike, you know, the World Wide Web when it first came out and people were like, I don't know how this would impact my business. Those
yeah.
that thought, well, big about it and started investing in it were advantaged by it. And I think that the same people are feeling kind of the same about Metaverse.
No.
We need to take it seriously. And Web3, obviously.
I think that the challenge with what you said is, like, there's been so much industry acceleration in 20 years. It just feels like we're in a constant stage of keeping up or keeping on the forefront. With Metaverse, and you nailed it on the head, not everyone will win in the Metaverse, but everyone should have a strategy to enter and test the Metaverse.
Yeah, for sure.
So we find, you know, we have some clients that come to us and say, you know what? We just got our e-com running in 2020. We didn't even have a functional website. Now you want me to make Web3 spaces with virtual interaction? Are you mad? You know. So one thing I would say, Bill, is, you know, the Metaverse is, it's not a race. It's
right.
a very slow
right.
ease. And so if you can't build one,
right.
you know, can you strategically partner? Can you do advertising in the Metaverse? Can you align with a virtual influencer?
Yep.
You know, you even said it's like we're in so much acceleration digitally, and for retailers, I think they feel the need. They have to jump all in, and it's, test it first, go slow, test, and make sure that you're making correct decisions so you don't in 3 years have to turn back and go, we really messed that one up.
Yep. You could invest a lot of money, and then if you don't do it right, you can see
yeah.
it go right out the window.
Yeah.
So what is it, you've been around the big show. What's the buzz? And with your clients, especially this year?
I think it's very similar. It's and I promise we did not plan this team, but there's a lot of what digital aspects do I plan? So we're seeing a lot of our clients, you know, from Latin America and obviously, you know, Europe. There's such a big congregation here at NRF. It's saying, you know, what digitally do we invest in? Should I invest more in, you know, e-com seamless transactions? You know, should there be a one-click option? Is that my win? Or is my win reinvesting this digital kind of frontier money into testing in the Metaverse?
Right.
But I think at the end of the day, what's been fascinating is the human element is truly here.
Mm.
And that's not to sound cheesy or to, again, sound like a PR spoof, but every person I've talked to, our clients are saying, we just want to make sure we're connecting again.
Right.
And I think that's obvious. In the past 3 years, we haven't been.
Right.
So it's nice
for
to
sure.
hear that at the forefront as well.
Yeah. So what do you think we'll be talking about at 2025's Retail Big Show?
So for 2025, I think we'll be talking about new digital communities because I think over the next 18 months, the big box retailers and brands will have already started to test it. So we'll start to see, is community engagement truly rising within these Web3 and metaverse spaces? I think that will be kind of first and foremost of us all coming back 2 years from now saying, did we win or did we not?
Right.
And then I think second, it will be the sustainability aspect. A lot of people on the floor are saying, you know, there are certain laws in certain countries or even certain states now that are going to inhibit me from retailing there. So how do I get ahead of that? So I think from packaging to, you know, even plastics use, particularly in the U.S., that's going to impact the next 18 months for, you know, any business that's trying to, you know, succeed.
You know, sustainability is—it was such a big topic during the student program. I mean, they are so purpose-driven, and sustainability was something that they talked a lot about. And getting out in front of that is going to be critically important. Yeah. I mean, it's not just for the—you know—for the laws or the regulations that are being passed, but the ability to hire quality people that are really driven by this. Yeah. They want to work for people that are sustainable in their thinking.
No, and you know, when we think about a retention and kind of retaining those new minds, it's so value driven.
Yes.
The point, it's purpose driven. I mean, sustainability, diversity, you know, truly having a brand purpose and standing behind that. And, you know, sustainability in particular in the US right now, I think we're reaching that moment where our intentions are meeting our actions. I think for the past couple of years, people want to be sustainable, but they're still maybe living unsustainably or buying products that aren't sustainable.
Well, it's kind of like organic, you know, and people are paying more for organic foods, for, you know, pasture-raised chickens and eggs and things of that sort. So, yeah, I think people, if it's going to be something that impacts their lives, whether it's their health or the future, I think they are willing to pay more. And those that aren't, they'll find the products that they want. Yeah. They'll do what they need to do.
Yeah.
So it's a fair question, but it's a broad question. What excites you most about the future of retail?
I think what excites me most about the future of retail is it's truly becoming intergenerational in how we grow businesses and scale businesses. You know, as we've been talking about, it's no longer just kind of one demographic group, which I hate even to use the word demographic groups, but you know, it's not just Gen X or boomers or Gen Z. I think the ways that people are working together, just like you said, with the new students, those reverse mentorships are going to make long-term impacts in how we shop and how we live from a, you know, just a floor perspective. I've seen so many different, you know, VMs now, which is all ages. It's not just juniors or women. Of course, we're testing new ways to shop. What are those path to purchases that fit all? So I think for me, that's really, really exciting is kind of this intergenerational mix, but also on a very, you know, side note, ways to make more voices included at the table for retail, you know, whether that's adaptable products, whether that's diverse products, whether that's kind of getting products in front of people that haven't had access to it.
Right.
And that to me is really exciting too.
So you've had an interesting career. You got to your career on an interesting path, paleontology and anthropology. Is that what you said?
Essentially, the study of, you know, different bones, dinosaurs, histories, fossils.
That's what I thought. And anthropology is the study of civilizations, right?
Yeah.
Did I
nailed it?
Yes.
Nailed it.
And then writing Cosmo. I just love that you did Cosmo. Yeah. That is really fantastic. Because that was such a high-end magazine. I mean, somebody was like, oh, he's got a Cosmo.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
My first piece ever in print was on velvet bodysuits. So if you guys want to know where the Peabody went, you're looking at it.
That's pretty awesome.
I still wish I was Indiana Jones, man. That was that's the job. That's the real job.
Yep. Well, you know, Cosmo, paleontology, caves, bats. Yeah. I mean, all that crap.
All aligns.
Yep. It does. So what's the best piece of career advice for those just starting in retail?
I would say be confident, not cocky.
Mm-hmm.
Listen more than you speak.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a rush now between social media and just digital culture. We are so ready to have our opinion heard and to speak and to shout very loudly. And I found the people that I think are the most successful and have had long-term success as leaders listen more than they speak, and they take those inputs and go, okay, but what does this truly mean?
Yep.
So confidence is strong, but don't be overconfident. Don't be cocky. No one likes the person in the room that, you know, speaks to hear themselves speak, and definitely listen. Yep. Deep listening is critical.
For sure. Andrea Bell, It's been a real pleasure talking with you. Thank you for joining us on Retail Gets Real.
Thank you so much, Bill. I hope you guys have a great rest of the show.
And I hope that you do as well. And thank you all for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. You can find more information about this episode at retailgetsreal.com. I'm Bill Thorne in New York City at Retail's Big Show. And this is Retail Gets Real. Thanks for listening.